Thanks for listening to the Red Bluff Vineyard podcast. Also check out our website, www.redbluffvineyard.church, and find us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. If you want to stay connected more, also download the Red Bluff Vineyard Church app on the Google or Apple stores.
So as Don said, my name is Nikki Wolter, and I was a pastor here for 3 years. And we, my husband and I, decided we wanted to, you know, actually say yes to a really major thing that God asked us. And we just recently moved to Alturas, which has been a really awesome journey for us. We're starting our church up there. I love talking about it and sharing about it. So if anyone has any questions or wants to know where we're at with the church plant, I would love to meet with you after the service and connect with you. But it feels really good to be in Red Bluff. We were here for 15 years. It feels really good to come back. But I thought it would be fun to share with you a few reasons why I'm happy to be back for even a moment, and a few of the big differences I've noticed so far in Alturas. So one of the first things that I think is pretty important to share is that their movie theater has one theater, one viewing, one option per week. So we went to the Lion King. I took my kids, and we're in line. There's a line out the door, and Lena sees this girl from school, and she's new at school, so she's trying to kind of make friends, and she says, oh, hey, so-and-so, and she goes, are you going to see the Lion King? And the little girl looked at her. She's like, we're all going to see the Lion King. And Lena looked at me. She's like, what? And I was like, yeah, there's only one. And she walked in there, and it was like, what is this tiny little thing? It was really funny, a reality check for her. Another thing is the weather. So in Alturas right now, it's starting to cool off. And at night, it's getting in the 30s. As soon as the sun sets, we're opening up the windows, and I'm just bundled up and freezing cold. And the daytime, it's just in the 70s and 80s. And I got here, and I brought a sweater. And I was like, my kids are at the pool. I'm like, what? I've only been gone a month and a half. I don't know how I forgot to just figure that out. The temperature is different. Another thing is Amazon. So no longer is Amazon 2-day free shipping. It's like 5 to 7 days, but it's still free. So just takes a little longer to get things. Yeah, that's not happening anymore. And one of the bigger issues is the internet and cell phone service, which I would consider horror stories, but I've got a lot of horror stories that I can tell you just as simple attempting to open up an email attachment or receive a text message. So on a good note, though, very quickly, my kids stopped asking for tablets and phones or any technology, because even if they had it, it wasn't working. So that's been nice, because they've just been outside doing their thing and not using any new technology. And second we get back here, we got here and they're on their phones and stuff, but. So anyway, I just wanted to share a few things that just kind of has been an experience the last month and a half so far. I've got a lot to learn still. But I'm really excited to be here and continue in your sermon series that Luke has been going through, and Wesley, called How to Wreck Your Life in the Best Way Possible. So before we get started, let's do a quick prayer. Holy Spirit, we are so thankful to be here today. I just pray that you would bless each person here, each body. You know their needs, you know their hearts, you know what they're seeking today, God, and I just pray that you would just speak through me, Lord, and speak to their hearts and help them just to draw near to you. I pray for the children in the back. We just thank you for them. We thank you for the volunteers and the teachers. We know how special they are and how important they are to you, God, and we just lift them up to you. And I just pray that you would just bless us during this time together. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's a few really amazing things that I love about my new community, and some things obviously is taking some time to adjust. But when Luke asked me to come back and preach for Back to Church Sunday, I was really excited, because he said we were going to talk about the importance of small groups, or core groups as we call them here. And I was super happy to do that, because small groups, core groups, back in the day, care groups, they have made a huge impact on our life. My husband and I. So when we started here 15 years ago, we got involved in a small group, and I wouldn't be where I am today without that. So My husband, I was chatting with him about preparing for this, and he wishes he could be here. He has been fighting that fire west of Red Bluff that you see on the mountains for a week and a half. So he wanted me to tell everybody that he misses you guys and all the familiar faces, and that he wants to visit, obviously, when we can. But he wanted me to remind everyone that, you know, small groups, they've been a blessing for us over the years, but they're even being a blessing for us now in this new season of church planting, because he kind of reminded me that as a new church plant in a small town, we kind of are like a core group starting out. It's a small town. We're getting to know people and meet people. It's a group, small group setting. We're meeting every week. We have focused and specific content that we're talking about, and it's opportunity for prayer and fellowship and communion and just simply getting to know people. So I thought that was kind of great insight from my old man. So we are super blessed Sunday mornings, because we come here and we're able to grab some coffee and get to chat with people, familiar faces and new faces. We get to enjoy some amazing spirit-filled worship, which I needed that this morning. It was amazing. We get to share in communion in the Lord's Supper together and hear a message with insight into God's word. And we get to take that home and chew on it and ask God how we can apply that to our lives and what is speaking to us. And if you get all that on a Sunday morning, you might be asking yourself, what's so special about a core group? So first, let me tell you, well, actually, you did ask already. How many people did they say signed up already for core groups or small groups? Okay. And how many of you have never, ever heard of a core group? I have no idea what it is. Anybody? Okay. Let me just tell you what core groups are not. Okay? They are not cliques within the church. They are not closed circles where no one's invited or no one's allowed, that they have their groups of people. It is not that. Core groups are a safe space for anyone to go to engage in life with other Jesus followers. You engage with people outside of these four walls. And I really thought it was important to contextualize this this concept of small groups biblically. So I want to go over some scripture. Just to add onto my shoe debacle, when I plugged my computer in, my presentation wasn't working. So this is your presentation. It's a welcome screen. But I'm going to read you the scripture. And if you're interested in to know what scriptures I was reading, I'm happy to get those to you afterwards. So I'm going to go ahead. If you bear with me while I read it, and it's not on the screen. So the book of Acts, it gives us a great picture in how the early believers did life together. In Acts 2:42 through 47, the believers form a community. All of the believers devoted themselves to the apostles, teaching and to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. All of the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, and they met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, while all praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. And I love that picture. These people, they spent time together in corporate worship, like we do on Sundays, teaching at the temples, and as well as a way of life, eating together, supporting each other, praying, sharing in communion with one another. I don't know if many of you have been here for some time, but there was a sermon series Luke did a while back called One Another. And God never intended us to live this Christian life alone. And these small groups are not just a program at the church, but they're actually supposed to be a way of life as a Christian. And it seems these days they're just kind of considered to be one more thing to add on the calendar. But in fact, they are an integral part of all of us being the church and not just doing church. I want to share a few more scriptures that can help us kind of let this idea soak into our hearts. Hebrews 10:24 through 25. Let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Matthew 18:20. For where two or three gather as many as my followers, I am there among them. Which I just love. I love that scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:11. So encourage each other, build each other up, just as you're already doing. And one of Jesus' final instructions to his disciples was found in John 13:34-35. Now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other, just as I have loved you, and you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. It's easy to love one another for 1 hour a week on a Sunday, huh? Not so much when we're having to get in the trenches and meet week by week and hold people's hand as they're walking through things. It gets tough, and that's the whole point, is sometimes it's not easy. One of my personal favorites of the scripture is Proverbs 27:17. As iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. When I was praying about this message and how it could fit into the series that Luke was doing, how to wreck your life in the best way possible, I immediately began to think of how we can get very, very busy. And sometimes we tend to fill our time with things that don't fill us up in any capacity at all, especially spiritually, but actually deplete us of our energy and deplete us of what we have inside and doesn't fill us. You frequently hear Luke talk about how here at the Vineyard, we always are living in a tension between two things. And I really wanted to challenge us this morning to seek the example of Jesus in finding our balance or tension between having our Sabbath and our one-on-one alone time with Jesus, with God, and making space to fellowship in small groups as he did. Making space in our busy schedule to develop our faith in a small group setting where you can form relationships that will help you to stay grounded, stay accountable, supported and encouraged, and to walk alongside you as you're committed to living a life according to your faith. And it's not always pretty. You know, real is not that superficial sunshine and roses all the time. But that's where we get close enough to one another and to care, where strangers become friends and friends become family. The groups are structured to provide teaching and fellowship and even outreach, where you can go out into the community and love on Red Bluff and do things that you haven't maybe had the courage or maybe even known how to do. Wrecking your life from saying yes to filling your schedule with things that don't feed your heart and embracing the power and freedom that you have to choose how you spend your time. If you've never been in a core group, I want to challenge you to check out the core group options that they have here out in the lobby. They've got, I was actually watching this screen and I thought, oh, I wish, I'm going to miss that. All the good, the meat and potatoes that you get in core groups. I'm sad I'm not going to be here to have these options to pick from. But if you've been in a small group before, maybe choose one that you haven't actually met all the people in this time. Meet new people. If you're new and you're wanting to find a way, maybe you're introverted or maybe, you know, we don't have familiar faces, this is a super amazing way for you to get slowly integrated into the church community and build that relationship. If you have signed up for core groups and maybe you just haven't been fully invested, maybe it's time that we make this a priority during our week. See what a difference it makes when you make it a priority and make it to every meeting. How did it affect you? How did it affect your experience and your life? If you're someone who is leading a core group, I just want to thank you for continuing to wreck your lives in the best way possible. Because without you guys, I wouldn't be where I am today, and that's for sure. We can start attending a core group because we're feeling a yearning or a feeling of God to call us into something more. But what we can forget sometimes is that, you know, we might be seeking something, but we can forget what we have to offer. We can forget the value that we can bring to a group like that. You forget how unique and special your story is, or how good your cooking is. Corey, my husband can cook really good. So anyone wants him in the core group, but just because they can eat good food. But you're unique and special, and you're likely to seek a group to be blessed, but you will probably be making more of an impact than you realize on someone else, because your story and your testimony can be exactly what God is looking for to work through in the lives of the people that we're doing life with here in this church community. You can join a core group multiple ways here at this church. You can sign up on the Connect cards or the website or the app. Check things out in the lobby here. Make it a space for you to create new friendships or cultivate old ones. And just be a community that is in community with one another. In these times of increasing disconnect, you know, Wes talked about last week the loneliness and what technology and social media and things have done to disconnect us from personal relationships. But we need each other. We need each other to help us discover what God is doing within us through our relationship with him and with each other. Not to focus on what we can get out of the church or out of core groups. And my favorite scripture that I mentioned earlier, iron sharpening iron, there's so much to be said about that when it's the people in your relationships that help you become a tool that God can use for his glory. When Corey and I signed up for our first one, they called them care groups back then, we were baby Christians. And by that, I mean we just started going to church. I mean, we were adults and didn't ever go to church. We hadn't been saved yet either. But we knew that we were hungry for more than just Sunday morning. And looking back now, we were 21, newly married. It deeply impacted our relationship and where we are now 15 years. We'll be married 15 years this year. It had a huge impact on us being young and married and in those relationships with those people. We planned our vacations around. We didn't want to miss our group. We didn't want to miss our time with our friends. It wasn't a job, we got fulfilled from it. And Carrie, are you here still? Yeah, Carrie and Steve and Zoe. Zoe was a baby. I remember rocking Zoe when she was little. But that is where our story began to change and grow deeper rooted in our faith. And I just wanted that to be an encouragement for you all today. And, you know, core groups, if you're still not, you know, comfortable with the idea, just encourage you to get involved in other small group style settings. You know, the potluck mixer coming up. I don't want to brag, but that was my idea a long time ago. Because it's so neat because there's no agenda. You just get to go and be together and eat food and hang out. And I tell you what, the last couple times we did it, I just love being around all of you people. And I'm guaranteed if you go, you won't be sorry that you go. But give yourself opportunity to step out of your comfort zone and build those relationships outside of the church walls, just like Jesus did. So I don't know if many of you have heard me preach before, but my messages seem to be small, short. I'm not like an hour-long message giver like Luke, unfortunately. So usually I get done a little bit early. But I wanted to just say a special prayer for everybody before we take off for the day, if you guys don't mind. As we were worshiping, I was just singing, you know, God, you're the breath. Jesus, you're the breath in our lungs. And I just wanted to pray, Lord, that today, whatever you spoke through me would resonate with someone here. I just want to pray, Lord, that anyone who is feeling maybe like they're not fitting in anywhere, or maybe that they are seeking something, they don't know what, I just pray, God, that you would provide some clarity for them and some direction. I want to pray for the small groups that are going to start meeting, that everyone that participates would be blessed, that this community would just grow deeper and stronger, and their love for one another would just grow and blossom and multiply. And I just want to pray, Lord, a special blessing over this church. I just want to thank you for your presence here. I want to thank you for everyone that came, Lord, and the blessing that it is to serve you in this capacity, Lord. And I pray you'd be with everybody this week as they just go through their day to day. Just guide them and help them to feel your presence. I ask this in your name. Amen. Okay. So sorry I missed Luke and Wesley. Or am I? I don't know. But I just want to thank you guys for coming today. And next week, Luke will be back, I believe, and continue with your sermon series. So enjoy your rest of your day.